In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, I'm not sure how John the Baptist would have fared in a modern seminary. I think he would have had just a little trouble with the mandatory personality and psychological exams. I mean, here was a guy who was 30 years of age, and he had never held a regular job, as far as we can tell. He dressed rather strangely. I mean, after all, camel's hair and a leather belt. And this guy could certainly have used some counseling on his diet, locusts and wild honey. Worse yet, he had a real tendency to irritate authority. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus speaks these words about John, John's sitting in a prison on an enforced leave of absence from the wilderness. I suspect if John the Baptist were required to write down a personal growth program, it would be rather lengthy and most interesting reading. On the other hand, here's what Jesus says of this John the Baptist. Among those born of women, there has not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. I take a lot of comfort in that, because if God could do such things with John, he can also do such things with you and with me. The personality of the preacher finally really isn't as big a factor as we want it to be. The content of the message is much more important than how socially acceptable the preacher might appear to others. This is all part of that mystery of the kingdom of God, a kingdom which is so unlike the kingdoms of this world, especially in this culture that focuses so much on glitz and beauty rather than substance. At the very heart of that is a shallowness of this culture, a culture which rejects the Creator himself, and in rejecting the Creator is left with nothing to focus their love and attention on but a corrupt and dying creation. Take an American funeral. What do you see? You see flowers and perfumes and makeup, everything designed to cover the ugliness of death. It's a whitewashing of the reality that's there, because what is underneath, what remains, is death. Unfortunately, as goes the culture, so often goes the church. And so often we want to cover ourselves, whitewash ourselves with all sorts of glitz and beauty. If worship is staid and simply repeats the words of dead saints, then it's time to scrap it and seek the excitement of an ecclesiastical pep rally. If our doctrine is too exclusive, then we need to modify it, not only in substance, but also in formulation, in such ways that we can speak it without really ever offending anyone by truth. After all, we want to appeal to the culture. We want people to like us because we know they like a winner. Now contrast that to St. John the Baptist. John's culture really did not appreciate him very much at all, especially when he called them things like, "You brood of vipers." Sitting in a prison cell, his life's work was, in fact, for all practical purposes, over. He had gone before the Lord to prepare his way. And now in a cold and damp prison cell sat the one whom Jesus at that moment calls the greatest born of women. And yet Jesus says something else that's even more unfathomable. He says, "But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, of whom did Jesus speak? I spent the last week asking colleagues what they think. And this has been fascinating to see how we come at this particular verse in so many different ways. Did Jesus speak of himself? Did he speak of those who would see the fullness of the kingdom come through the death and resurrection of Jesus in the day of Pentecost? That is the New Testament church. Or can we really make such a distinction at all? You see, Jesus himself is, in fact, both the least and the greatest. He came to be the least among us. A servant who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to be the Lamb, the one who would bear the sin of a world on a cross. And that, my brothers, was much more than just a mere euphemism. Jesus actually became guilty of the sin of this world. All of it was accounted to him. When he went to the cross, there was no greater sinner that had ever lived than Jesus of Nazareth. No one was more separated from God at that moment by that awful guilt of mankind. No one was more abandoned in the fruit of sin in his death. And yet it is from the death of Jesus, the least, the servant of all, that life arose. Here is one who sowed in weakness, but reaps in power. Here is the person in who the fullness of the kingdom of God is present, hidden in human flesh. Here is the Christ of Calvary, the Christ of Easter, the one who would break forth from the empty tomb and bring new humanity with him. Here is the one who is the least in the kingdom and yet is also the greatest. Here is the transformation from the last to the first, from the servant to the master, from the least to the greatest. And it is this king and this kingdom which has claimed you and into whose service God will send you. All the greatness of Jesus himself became yours in your baptism, in that washing, in that burial, in that resurrection with him. All that he is, he has blessed and sustained you with as he has fed you with that meal of bread and wine through which he comes to you as the Christ of Calvary and Easter. No, John did not look like very much, and frankly, neither do you and neither do I. And neither does all the stuff of the ministry that God places into our hands. Your words are not much. You will, as this preacher this morning does, stammer and wonder what he's going to say next. You will point people as John did, and you will say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But in your preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is crashing in on you and those who hear. You will point to the water, that most common substance. 2/3 of the surface of this world is water. Nothing more common. There, God's great miracle of the rebirth takes place. You will point people to an altar on which there is bread and wine, the two most common foods in the world. Nothing glitzy or showy about it. But there he will feed his people with himself, with his body, with his blood, with his life. None of these things look like much, yet look what God does with them. Perhaps you and I don't look like much either. Perhaps not quite like John the Baptist, but getting awfully close. Yet look what God did with him and what he will do with you, from the least to the greatest. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.